Chrysalis, a love story. She dreamed of stained glass butterfly wings, red and green and gold and light, to carry her away, drift high above the city, float her to where she could daisy nectar sip and the mountain grasses caress. She woke to the stench of the city, that old dragon that devours the young, who stream from small towns and homes to its streets, sacrifices that think themselves immortal. She was not a sacrifice. The sacrifice would have been to stay at home, and the least said there the better. Running away was her becoming. Even with sand in her eyes and dirt in every pore, the smell of urine choking the air in boxes and alcoves and abandoned despair, she never despaired. Mainly because she couldn't see the point to it. Well, other than a snazzy black wardrobe, and maybe some silver earrings and ennui. N is for Neville, who died of ennui. Lucky bastard. But whatever. She had her dream. Washed in diner bathrooms and wise and shelters to remind herself of clean. Sold herself 5 times to pay for the sweeping arc of inked wings painted onto her back. Dipping tails furling down her legs, curving round young back, strong and brown and ready to fly. Eventually, she found herself 2 sisters to help busk and grift and get by, a tiny never-take-duff, never-say-dry queen, and a tall, silent angel with pink-tipped braids. The 3 found a little flop off the street, scrounged furnishings of milk crates almost clean, feasted on ramen, and tasted their own immortality. Time wended past. Inked a tattered ribbon flow of butterflies up her right arm. A flutter of butterflies, a flight of butterflies, a swarming float of tropical wings from dots on wrists swarmed and wrapped around and round until they came to shoulder rest. Inked a halting strain of barbed wire up and around the left. Black barbs that pricked olive skin with red points. A strain from wrist to shoulder. So with friends and place and decorated body and dreams, life was cool. And if she wasn't quite pretty, bit too much noble grease in her nose and not enough Olympus in her chest, well, she had loads of personality, and when she sang, it felt like she was flying. Her name was Psyche, or Psycho, or Psychic, or Psych, or String Bean, because she was a lot of things, but Short wasn't one of them. He never dreamed, not out of the gate of ivory, nor out of the gate of horn. And he had no real need to dream of flying. He already had wings. His name was Eros, and he was a god of love. Whatever. And really, that's enough introduction for any story. It's not as if we don't know where this story will go, you and I. Weft weave. Snip snip. So we begin in the miserable stink of heat. Grown men rolling up suited black serious pant legs on their stolen lunches to walk in public fountains. Grown women shucking nylons and heels to wriggle scrunched toes in the furtive strips of grass. See that man over there? Walking in the low round fountain, red-faced and sweating. The one with the high forehead? Yeah, him. He is supposed to fall in love with Psyche. It'll never go anywhere, of course, because come on. Ant meet butterfly. However, once the longing and the angst and the Durham blah 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 is over, this guy with his high forehead will finally finish the inspiring love of true love torn asunder that he's been working on for the last freaking 20 years. And Milkany will finally stop sending Eros pointed little memos to Eros from Milkany. Read Eugene Glockmeyer. To write of a tragic love, one must experience transcendentally tragic love. So get moving already! To Eros, from Melody, Regine Glockmeyer, Beatrice, Dante, Laura Petrarch, Caritas, ever heard of them? To Eros, from Melody, Regine Glockmeyer, I have completed the tragic love inspiration form in triplicate with potential agape upgrade attachment per your request and submitted it to your office. Also, call your mother. She wants to talk to you. Eris has learned the hard way that if you don't develop a paper trail, love can be complete chaos. And so there he stands, bronze arrow at the ready, smooth pull back, hears singing and turns towards the future object of Eugene's desire, and he shoots himself in the foot. Arrow sighs. Oh, this is so going to suck. And then he is hard, palpitatingly dry mouth, flushed cheek, deep in love. Her beautiful, silky brown, sugar, creamy, crystalline, piercing, arcing gods, ye gods, the face that launched a thousand rays belting out my way with some little accompaniment, with a bucket, a stick, and some choice of compliments. Yeah, she did it her way. She did. He can listen to her for hours, and is all set to do it when she starts to sing, I'm your Venus, I'm your fire. Crap, because sure enough his cell phone rings. He ignores it and glances around. Eugene with a high forehead has long scuttled back to the floor 40 of air conditioner and back grinding. My mother is totally going to kill me. And with a twitch and a white drifting feather, he goes to his next appointment, ends up sighing the whole time and flies home. That night, he mopes. He is supposed to be attending the monthly City Association of Love Gods meeting. Inanna is giving a presentation on Polly in the 21st century, the time returns, or something new. Eros is supposed to supply the audiovisual equipment. Instead, he mopes. And Inanna is reduced to doing shadow puppets. Erotic shadow puppets. Shadow puppets of desire. Freaking shadow puppets while Eros watches his DVD of the most depressing romantic moments in history. Drinks tequila. Mopes. The next day, he accidentally shoots two customers scheduled for enduring love with extreme loathing. That night, Eros is graced with a visit. First, the air is filled with a soft, sweet richness. Then, opening the door, her form and face. She walks in beauty like the night. All that is beautiful meets in her aspect and in her glorious, glamorous eyes. And then there is her voice, low and rich and full, like old honey. Where the hell have you been? Says Inanna. Tap-happing long, slender fingers on glorious, rounded hips. Can't talk. Moping, says Eros. Cute, says Inanna. She snaps her fingers, and a handsome loincloth-clad lad appears. She ponders weighty and then says, Margarita, blended, and this time, extra salt. As you asked, I was already tardy in fulfilling love's desire, says the youth, who bows and scurries from the room. Inanna gracefully flops down on a red, rich, crushing velvet couch. You flaked out on me. And I've yet to hear you grovel for my forgiveness. Eros looks up from his contemplation to the floor. Look, I'm sorry. I'm a flake. I suck. I'm a terrible friend. Now go away. You're interfering with my passy glime groove thing. You're forgiven, says Inanna, who accidentally smiles, just as her minion returns with a salt-encrusted, grounded globe of margarita. Oh dear, she says. Well, clean that up and go get me another. Loincloth-clad lad. Whips off his loincloth and begins mopping up the floor. Says Inanna. And then, well, now, since I've graciously forgiven you, and I am your friend, I pretty much have to make your life a living hell until you tell me what's wrong. Come on. You know I can take you. In 738 ways. So spell. I shot myself in the foot, says Eros. Ooh, that's not good, says Inanna. With a tragic love arrow, says Eros. Ooh, that's really not good, says Inanna. So I decided to drink lots of really disgusting alcohol until my life ends in vomiting, says Eros. Well, actually, and you should know, he's been talking this way the entire time. He says, I'm going to drink lots of alcohol until life ends, vomit, blah. But Inanna knows what he means. That never works. And you know you're going about this all wrong. Her minion hands her a fresh margarita. Oh, thank you. She takes a sip and waves loincloth lad away. Okay, so this love is pretty much doomed. Because, you know, that's how it works. And she'll die, because tragic Greek hubris, says Eros, crying into his shot glass. Not necessarily. You just need to put a little gayness on the whole thing. You know, if you ever blah, 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 you'll be tragically parted. But, you know, no death. Just tragic parting. And hey, maybe you would over years, and in the meantime, joyous nookie of love. Eros smiles wobbly. At work? Sure, if I ever led you wrong, says Inanna. Go to orgy. Eros shudders. Hey, that was millennium ago, and I had no way of knowing about the trolls, says Inanna. This, however, is foolproof. She takes a triumphant sip. Hubris. Sighs Eros. She's beautiful. and smart and her voice. This sucks, so get me a margarita. Inanna smiles and snaps her fingers. An abandoned building. Love left behind. Stripped away and burned. All that's left of care, window eyes hollowed out, boarded up. The whole building merely waiting to be struck down, replaced. Weeds growing, rats scurrying and copulating in its rooms, and sometimes, if it's lucky, at night, wraithers gather to dance until dawn. They bring no lights, just a sound system and a few glow sticks. They like the dark, pulsing music, pounding beats to vibrate the bones, still the heart. The same rhythm repeated 1,000 times as the young restless gather to writhe. Psyche writhes. She has a red ring on her right index finger that flashes, not enough to see in the dark, just enough to watch it glitter, watch other rings move and flash in the dark through half-closed eyes. She is dancing with someone. She can feel the heat of his body in the dark, radiating out to touch her. They do not touch, except for the almost brush of hair on legs and arms and stomach, reaching, touching, entangling, parting. He smells of sweat and sweet and clean, and they dance and move in the dark, hips almost, hands, lips, legs almost moving, flashing warm with sweat and heat and dark. She takes his hand, or he takes hers. They take each other, pull each other up the black stairs, pause to devour lips, slam against a wall so as not an inch of their bodies will not be apart, had to touch, had to merge, hands scratch, lips complicate, lips pull apart to further up the stairs, farther up and deeper in. Electricity arcing the bones of their fingers where they touch. The music is quieter here. They are alone. Butterfly fingers touch her face, the size of her breasts. Butterfly fingers flutter down her arms, wander down her waist. Light seeking nectar licks, kissing her taste, salt as the tidal sea, salt as tears and warm, smooth, soft. But he doesn't want soft. She pulls him up, she kisses to consume, hungry to feel, to know every inch. Clothes are shed, safety donned, because Psyche's not that psycho, and they move and shift in the dark. Psyche's flashing red, the only light. Shift, move, devour, shift, move, dance, there. And angels wage a heavenly war, worlds shudder, and Icarus melting falls, weeping, laughing, exhaling, love's name. What's your name? Says Psyche, kissing his collarbone, running hands down his scratched, winged back. Wings, you've got wings, how cool is that? I want to see. Eros takes a shuddering breath, surprised he can even breathe, prepares to shape tragedy with words. I'm afraid you can't. You see, I'm under Aegaeus, and by saying it, love makes it so. See, love's blind, so we can only be together in the dark. If you ever see me, or know my name, well, tragedy, partying, tests, you know the drill. Psyche ponders this as the wet sweat cools and she smells the sex on her skin. Why do I always get the wackos, she thinks. Lowers her legs to the ground. On the other hand, wings. Is that okay with you, says Eros, who contemplates nobility and honor, but decides to screw it, go with his talents. Touches her there, there, and there. Her flesh feels like it's smiling, hell, singing. Okay, she says, but next time, yeah, do that again. Someplace with a bed or a table, yeah, singing. Sometime in the night, he leaves her, soft and wobbly and exhausted. She moves down the stairs, past the dancers who are just getting ready to leave as the sky turns gray. Drags herself under the metro, happy winces as she sits on the hard plastic. For once, wild black seeking witch hair is tamed to exhaustion. For once, she isn't humming on her way home, too tired. And this morning, everything about her is a song. Rolls into the flop, she stares with her sisters, is greeted with a sing-song voice. Someone got laid, someone got laid. Damn, psych! I want to look the hell like you are. You are glowing, says Queen Bee, who is sprawled on a thin mat on the floor. And then when I spend my night strutting my stuff looking for some lucky, and you're the one who ends up looking like the cat dragged in. Damn. They're right, Angel. Angel grins out from under the woolly cap she always seems to wear and nods. Better yet, she hands Psyche a cup of coffee. Psyche smiles, praises deities, and takes a good long gulp. Ah, sweet caffeine. So, Queen Bee grabs the barbed wiry arm and pulls Psyche to earth, or at the very least, to the mat on the floor. Psyche winces as she sits and stretches out long legs, sips steaming instant legal perk. Queen flips back headed curls, but we'll get in the way, and leans in. Details, Psyche, any details? If I'm not getting any loving, then I want to hear all about it. Isn't that right, Angel? Angel one shoulder shrugs and soft dipping head smiles. Well, says Psyche, we met, we danced, we screwed a lot. Hey, Angel tells better stories than that, and she don't hardly talk, says Queen Bee. So was it dirty, mental, twisted? Yeah, I can tell it was twisted. Look at that smile. It was twisted. It was not twisted. It was, flexible. It wasn't twisted. Psyche smiles some more under coffee and stretches tired muscles, grins. Her flesh is still humming. So are you going to see this flexible stamina man again? Or if not, can I have his number? Because damn, girl, look at you. You're a puddle of lovin'. Isn't that right, Angel? Angel nods and raises her eyebrows with a head tilt number 46 to indicate that she too wouldn't mind getting the mystery man's number. Yeah, I guess, says Psyche. I have his number. So is it weird that he doesn't want me to see him, like, in the light, says Psyche? It means he's a total dog and quite possibly a freak, which would be okay if he were a circus freak and double-jointed, but clearly he's a psycho. Queen Bee leans up against the wall and dances oiled curls with nods, takes a drag on the dazed first cigarette. Psyche contemplates her coffee, and he has wings. Damn freak, yo! Have I told you nothing? Have I told her nothing, Angel? Nothing. What did I tell you the first day we met? Wanna buy a joint? Says Psyche with a certain amount of a wry. After that, the part where I told you not to suck face with demons. Because you always end up with a hellspawn. Queen Bee waves her cigarette in the air. Listen, girlfriend. You got to see his face and, like, prick him with a needle or something. No. Psyche narrowly avoids having her eye out by cigarette. You will be meeting at Johnny Darko's where he will pay the cover charge, and I will scope out if he is a freak. Aside from the wings. Look, he's got mad skills. Give a girl a break. Demon spawn. Exploding heads. Queenie makes the universal gesture of the exploding head. I don't care what kind of mad skills he's got. He's a wacko. Psyche glances at Angel, who does a vague hand number 9 and offers her a refill. Thanks, Ange. You're an angel. And the talk shifts to rent and food and other mundane. That night, Psyche meets her lover at Johnny Darko's as promised. The latest rage with all the young fashion things, a total sensory experience. Soft velvet couches, lush with pile and plush. Every slide and move on bared young flesh gripped by thousands of soft strands. Rooms warm and humid soft. Rooms cool enough to make the skin prickle, taunt with goosebumps. Music low, loud, Afro-Celtic, world, harp, longing something, something, no, never, nothing, any words, just melodic strands, all in total darkness. Eros feeds Psyche smushed spicy finger foods as a spoon on their luscious velvet couch. Talk about nothing, everything. Where is desire bred, in the heart or in the head, or in the touch? Little unseen touches, little unseen kisses. She runs gentle hands over his wing pinions, and he softly shudders. He does this thing with her ear, but she darkly melts. She can practically feel the butterflies on her arm shivering, the barbs tightening. The room is full of people, but they are alone. Washed in music, just the sound of the occasional gasp as fingers wander and clatters as waitresses stumble in the dark. Psyche decides that if her lover is a psycho, he's a really interesting psycho. Drags herself in at dawn, is greeted with coffee, and shouts that she'll be popping demon spawn any moment. Days pass, weeks, they meet in darkness, in clubs and raves, and eventually even his home. In darkness full of things to touch, textures, fabric, toys, food, tables, chairs, linoleum, a bed, a real bed. With a velvet coverlet and satin sheets and soft like a cloud, and she is floating. Her body is light as a feather and heavy as a flood, and she flies and falls and flies again. P is for Psyche, who dies the little death every night, lucky bitch. And they talk and melt and sigh and scream every sleepless night, with every dark gasp on her skin, every kiss and taste, every center deep touch, she grows to see the world luminous. Sees music, tastes color, feels everything begin to fall away, never fat. She grows thin and thin, find a way. Angel looks at her with liquid earth eyes and offers her government cheese, high in fat and calcium and free. Queen Bee just bitches and is sure, so sure, that the dark lover boy is a freak, a killer, a demon sucking away Psyche's life. She feels more alive than alive, but she does wonder if she can get a condom that would work with the mystic as well as the physical, or not. She's always had a voice, could always fly, but now the songs are just her, and she writes and reaches. Flow the words into living colors, sings happy and watches bottle blue dragonflies chase wisps of wheeling dragon puffs across the sky. Sings her heart and the weeping willow plucks its roots to shift a little closer to the slender birch. Even the really real folk seem to hear, see, feel the difference that is glowing out of her. One day as she sings of hearts on fire, this high forehead of a little mouse of a suit comes up to sit in the same patch of grass every day. Actually looks up, comes and gives her $20, which he's never done before, thanks her, smiles, and he isn't the only one. Money flows, but still, she strikes herself in every morning, pretends it's all normal, just all sweat and desire. Imagines 100 faces beneath her fingers, eye and skin and colors, and she knows nothing lasts. May as well do it already. Stop being a wuss and do it. Bring a lighter with her. It's got to be this way, because it could be a demon, or worse, because she's given him her lumpy heart. And so after sighing and moving just so in the dark, he lies sleeping. She holds up that lighter, and in the faint flickering light sees him, golden and beautiful. Can't stop looking, he's so pretty and fine and clean. And a drop of lighter fluid falls, burns. Eyes flutter to open, and she sees his eyes, blue as the bare sky, blind, and he says only nothing. And in a flash he's gone, and she's all alone in that dark room with its faint colors flickering from her little plastic lighter, and she cries. It should be explained that the city is by no way flat, inside or out. It's ringed with mountains, high, sharp, forested blades in the east, rolling moors to the west and south, facing the vivid froth sea. At the heart of the city is a mighty, muddy river that runs contrary north, separating the 7 central hills. Rosy temples cluster in vine cover perch on the hilltops. Here lightning shakes, there thunder dwells, and over there, temples to love, a love of every inclination, free and easy, bound and straining. Inanna's temple is not large, full of priests and priestesses and doves and cows and geese and flowers. On a hot fall day, the smell is overpoweringly of life and incense, lots of incense. It is a temple that has no doors, no knocking. Everyone is invited to join in celebrating the goddess, in celebrating love. Inanna sits in a wide open window watching the sun rise pink over the harbor, golden over the great river that splits the city in two, hazy perch over the hills with their temples and their gods. She drinks bitter chocolate, savors the warm, sharp taste, runs her fingers through a minion's tousled hair, and watches the day rise. Sees a white dot resolve into arrows flying towards her, lifting up in Zephyrus the west wind's arms. It is only as he tumbles to the window that she sees his eyes blinking blind in the light, landing, laughing, crying, and Nana, she looked, and love is blind. Oh, Eros. She kneels to the floor, cuts a strip of cloth from her dress with a copper knife. Time for stage 2, then. You girl up for it? She gently wraps the cloth around Eros' searching eyes. Oh, Psyche is, yeah. He reaches up and touches the cloth, sighs. Well then, let's see how this works out. Inanna takes Eros by the hand. Psyche is alone. She waits in the darkness, curses, so the hell with it, goes out for a drink, planning on picking up the first young thing that she sees, ends up leaving and walking. She can practically hear the romantic soundtrack in the background. Watches the sun turn white peaks rosy glow, although it is still gray in its fold between mountains and hills. Drags home as finally the sun breaks free. Angel hands her coffee, looks at Queen Bee, who says, "Demon spawn!" Psyche whops Queen upside the head, who says, "Hey!" Psyche stands over her, tall, so tall. He's a god! Oh, Queen Bee takes a quick short drag, fiddles with her hair, and twiddles. Psyche pauses a beat. A god of love. Oh, Queen Bee takes another puff, more fiddle twiddling, another pause. A god of erotic love. He had mad skills. Oh, Queen Bee is not looking at Psyche, eyes in the crack in the wall. That sucks, says Angel, who offers Psyche a chocolate bar from the That Sucks stash. Yeah, don't it though? Psyche takes the chocolate and sits down, takes pity on Queen Bee and hands her a chunk of chocolate. But hey, I couldn't go on like that. I was just being lazy. My baby's under a curse. So what are you going to do, says Queen Bee. I'm going to break that curse wide open and get my hunk of burning love god back, that's what. Nibbles on the chocolate. I know this works. Follows it up with a slug of black, 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 black coffee. There'll be a quest and three things, and in the end we'll be together. Psyche shoots Queen Bee a sewer full of dirty look, and there will be no demon spawn. Damn, you're not preggers, are you, says Queen Bee. Angel rolls her eye and hands Psyche another piece of chocolate. Psyche, Queen Bee, and Angel catch the 47 bus to Parnassus. Walk up windy cobble streets, streets that become stairs, stairs that become streets. So, why are we doing this, says Queen Bee? Because my feet are killing me. And if I'd realized how high this hill was, I'd have worn my other combat boots. Queen Bee knocks the heel on her left boot back into place. I mean, there are plenty other gods in the sea. Slimy, wet, cold gods, says Psyche. And I told you a billion times, we're going to go see his mother. So, why are we here? Not that I love you at all, but it wasn't our boy toy. Isn't that right, Angel? Angel shakes an emphatic no, and pink-tipped braids dance. Knocks friendly fists with Psyche. Keeps walking up the steep. All I ask is that you back me up and stuff, says Psyche. Can't go facing gods without my sisters. Queen Bee accepts this explanation. Keeps climbing, talking. If there was a sleep stack on Buffy, would Xander date it? The ancient babes from the Andromeda system are in a battle with the dead presidents. Who's the red shirt of tragic love? Cucullin and the Alexander the Great, while on their erotic adventures through space and time, pay a visit to Alexander... To Richard the Lionhearted. Do they fight, have an orgy, or talk poetry, or all of the above? Basic, bored, pirated cable TV talk. The cobbled stone narrow of the lane empties onto a crooked shank of a street. The street leads to a gracious bend of a boulevard. The boulevard tree-lined stops at a temple, the Court of Love. There is a great oaken door set in golden sandstone. Psyche knocks. A priestess with perfect curling black tresses, not hair, tresses, and perfect hanging chiton, opens a little door within the mighty opening, looks them over with arched eyes, smirks, who has come for the adjudication of love's desiring.
Us? Says Psyche. Can we just go in?
What would you give to earn soft, sweet love's correction, says the priestess, gesturing at her heart and then turning her hands, palms up, to Psyche.
I would, kill a dragon or something? And, you know, take a trophy or something for a gift?
Psyche exchanges, shrugging, how would I know, glance with Angel. Damn, what are you, mental, says Queen Bee. She wants money, not dead animal parts.
Oh, says Psyche, who hands the priestess a fold of paper currency.
The priestess smiles, sort of, and gestures for them to enter. It is not a big hall. City Hall is more massive. This hall makes City Hall seem overly large. it is not the most ornate hall in the city. The temple to Mardu is done entirely in gold marble and gold leaf. This hall makes the temple to Mardu seem a tawdry, cheap strumpet who wears all her jewels at once. It is not the most crowded hall in the city. There are other temples that teem and throng with people, pushing and straining to be heard. This hall makes all that seem unseemly, lower, less. This hall is restrained, elegant, perfect. Not too large, not too small. There is marble, but that marble is white, pure. There is gold, but only the hair and the delicate, discreet curve of a discreet frieze that runs the tops of the column rows. There are crowds, but each person, it seems, is placed to maximum effect. Jeweled ladies and their swains, troubadours and troubarites, junglers with their harps and loops. The air faint with the sound of trembling roses and rose petals falling. And at the center of it all, she, the lady of this place, this court of love, every strand of gilded golden tress, every fold of perfectly dressed, the way she enigmatic smiles, the way her feet and sandal shod seem a gracious blessing for her to wear them, such poor lucky strips of leather, though surely such as they, such as she, never touches the ground. And there she is, Psyche, looks like a hag, with her hair frizzing out, her best black t-shirt, best black jeans, and best black only combats, too tall, too plain, all elbows and knees and clumsy. "What the psych? I think that's her over here," says Queen Bee, pointing at the goddess Aphrodite. Takes a glance around. "Nice place you like to decorate and frigid." Deep down laughs. Psyche grins over at Angel and gives Queen Bee a quick hug. "Hey, you're wrinkling the t-shirt. I'm saving that for these extremely lucky hunk-of-o-babies. Let's get this over with. I'm hungry." Angel rolls her eyes and pats her stomach. So they walk up the hall. It is not a large hall, but for some reason it seems really long. Listen to Aphrodite as she hears cases presented with poetry and songs. "Can a lady love her husband? Should a lady of upper-middle estate grant her love to a gentleman of lower-upper estate? Should the name of this lay be the unfortunate one or the four sorrows," and so on. Psyche comes to stand before Aphrodite on her throne. Hey, your queen goddessness." A perfect pale brow climbs up perfect smooth. "Yes? What would a crow to the nightingale come?" A soft titter of laughter. The goddess looks down from her height at Psyche, looks her over from her toes. Psyche is sure she can see the hole in her right sock, to her thin, thin face and wild black witch's hair. "I'm, beseechifying you to help me with your son, who, I love? Yes, you. My son's strumpet of a whore has come begging for love's mercy. Love is cruel." Aphrodite smiles, a little perfect smile. "My son is the most beautiful of all the gods. Skin as fair as milk. Hair as spun honey on a summer's day. All the care and beauty that being my son can bestow, I have given him. With love, I created him. Perfection that your love has only marred. Made blind eyes that should only see beauty. Why should I assist you in anything? You are nothing but a mangy bitch, nosing for scraps, fouling the wreath till she is whipped from the room." Psyche stands frozen, blood roaring in her ears, nothing she could hear deer in the headlights unfrozen say. Fortunately, she doesn't have to. "Hey, bitch, who are you calling bitch?" says Queen Bee, scowls at the pretty guards in their shiny armor to keep their hands the hell off her. "Way I hear it, you got your pretty perfect son by screwing Ares and you're out of his bed, where he caught your stinky ass and then showed it to all the other gods. Way I hear it, you're the dog sniffing in heap whatever himbo wants to rule you. Now you're gonna listen to my friend, or I'm gonna come up there and kick your skanky white ass all the way to Olympus." Queen Bee turns to Psyche. "Now stop standing there like a string bean and get the info that we need, and I'll kick your ass too." Queen Bee glares at Angel.
Stop smiling. I'm hungry. Aphrodite's lips thin in a way that is, well, still beautiful, but not quite perfect. The ladies and courtiers flutter and whisper. Everyone is certainly looking now. Psyche takes a breath. You're a bitch on wheels, bitch on wheels, bitch on wheels. Look, you don't like me. And I get that I'm not what you want for your son. But whatever. He's under a curse, and I figure the way these things work, you can tell me how to break it. So tell me. Whatever it is, I'll do it. Aphrodite taps long, white, perfect fingers on the arm of her tastefully simple white throat. You cast me as the wicked mother-in-law, the old woman. Very well. There are rules to these things, and even in my hall, in my temple, in my city, I must follow them. She puts her long white hand to the red perfect bow lips that curve just so. Little faithful dog that yips. To break this curse on love, you must do these things three. First, go to my granary in the west and sort the wheat from the chaff, that you may make bread for your wedding feast. Then you must go to my fields in the east, where I keep my golden rams with the crooked horns, and gather their wool that you may make a dress for your wedding. The court titters and witters and shifts as their queen speaks. And finally, you must go down into the earth, to hell, to get the box in which the queen of the dead keeps her beauty. For I find myself quite tired and wan from worrying over my son. I will restore my beauty for your wedding day. Good enough? Or do you need me to tell you how to go to hell? Nah, says Psyche. There isn't a kid that's lived rough that doesn't know the way. She turns to go. Oh, and one more thing, says Aphrodite. You have until the sun rises on the next day, or my son plays the blind fool forever. Whispers turn to open laughs. I would not want this to be too easy. After all, love is sacrifice. You may go now. Gee, thanks, your lopsided assiness, says Queen Bee. Come on, let's blow. Angel indicates damn with an inflection of brows. And they follow Queen Bee as she saunters away. Queen Bee only pauses three times on the way out to hand her phone number to Hello, Hotness. You deserve to date some me. Call me. Psyche buys her a hamburger with cheese, bacon, and some really cool sauce stuff, and super-sized fries, a really big fried Coke, and deep-fried apple pie. The bus chain-smokes its way across the city, past broken tenements and gutted hope, past soft, curved suburbs, past fields and trees into the mountains west of the city. They get off of the bus at the crossroads with a small, lonely pilgrim's cross. It's rolling empty hills as far as the eye can see. Shaggy, fierce sheep graze on purple stuff. White and black tilled road leads across the purple. They trudge. It's hot, says Queen Bee. Are we there yet? No, my little smurfling, says Psyche. They walk past the cemetery where Bessie the cow lies. She gave milk. A lot. I'm thirsty, whines Queen Bee. Are we there yet? Nope, says Psyche. Angel hands Queen Bee a water bottle. Queen Bee wrinkles her lips and takes a cautious sip. They walk past a burnt-out mansion, its roof all caved and crushed and broken beams. I'm hungry again, whines Queen Bee. Are we there yet? Yep, over there, says Psyche. And there is the granary of the Queen of Love, red and white and perfect, and full of heaping of mixed grain. Crap, says Queen Bee. We need more people, or guns, or explosives. And after a moment, shouldn't the grain be in grain silos or something? Angel and Psyche look at her. What? I can't have depths? Angel shakes her head and glares at the granary. The mounds do not disappear. An old woman with wide hips and depth of chest and a little gap between her two front teeth gets up from a chair by the granary door. Hello. I am a simple, elderly goat herder, woman, person, thing. What is your problem? So, where are your geese, says Queen Bee. Oh, they're resting. Yes, resting. The woman shoos off a young man that appears and tries to hand her a frosted drink with an umbrella. Yes, so, what brings you out to such a remote location? I have to sort this grain. Psyche walks up to the granary door, vast and perfect and really, really vast. Dim shafts of light. Dim the interior. There's got to be a trick to it. Why, I imagine that there is. Why, I bet that you already have what you need. Something you love. And you know what they say if you love something, says the old woman. The worm on her right cheek falls off and into her dress. The old woman ignores it. Her wrinkles kind of look like they're painted on. And her butt is lumpy, like she's got a pillow in there. What are you talking about, says Queen Bee. The old woman reaches into a pocket and hands Queen Bee a business card with an address. Call me. Great hours, benefits, full medical and dental. Orgies. The old woman calls back to Psyche. Good luck with the grain. I'm going to go tend my goats now. Bye. The old woman minds making a phone call to Queen Bee and disappears around the building. Okay, that was weird, says Queen Bee. Mysterious assistant, probably a god or something. What do you think she meant, says Psyche. No freaking clue, says Queen Bee, who eyes the card. Orgies, huh? Angel shakes her head and looks rather sorrowfully at the grain, pulls out a little metal flask and hands it to Queen Bee. All right, says Queen Bee, now we're cooking with ethanol. Psyche walks back to the granary, takes a breath, rich with must, glances at 3 months' savings on her right arm. If I let you go, you'll come back, right? She says, murmurs, wonders, breathes, sighs, and lets go. And the air is filled with tropical wings. Feelers crowd her face and hair and swarm the room. Shifting color in the dim light, millions of wings flash and flit and are gone, leaving behind 2 piles of grain and chaff neatly stacked. Psyche sighs, I guess you were never really mine, and goes out to collect her friends. 1 down, 2 more to go. From tiny little electric train, pulls away from the city center, rattles down tracks and sparks chug, stops at every tiny station width in the road, climbs past apartments strung with laundry and estates ringed with fences, up into the hills that fold the city to the east. They get off the little train. Angel and Queen Bee buy a beer and candy from vending machines before catching an even smaller connection with wooden benches and real glass windows. Angel and Queen Bee write their names in the glass. The train crawls out into the hills. They get off at a remote enough spot, walk up a yellow brick path and into the darkly woods. They come to a moonshadow bridge curving red over a white rushing gorge. On the far side, golden flocked sheep with crooked black horns graze on short cropped grass. Oh, this will be easy, says Queen Bee. Angel white rolls eyes and snorts. There's an old man fishing on the bridge with a willow rod. Hey, old dude, give us your cryptic message, says Queen Bee. Psyche elbows her. What? Says Queen Bee. He turns. There's a filthy bandage wrapped around his eyes. He is dressed in layers of gray rags. Coarse, grainy skin limned with dirt. He smiles sweetly. Shh, you'll scare the fish. Angel starts to walk past him across the bridge. I wouldn't go over there if I were you, he says. Why not, says Psyche. I need to gather the wool from the sheep. It's hot, and the sheep are hot, and they are not happy sheep, says the old man, who creaks bones. Unhappy sheep with crooked horns. They'd gore such pretty-voiced young things in a moment. So how do I get the wool, says Psyche, but she already knows. This will hurt, won't it? I'm afraid so, he says. Well, let's get on it. Psyche walks up to him, holds out her left arm. He reaches out, liver-flecked hands, crooked, bent. Butterfly touches skitter up her arm. Old claw fingers grab the barbed wire on her and rip away. There's blood on his hands where the barbs bite him. There's blood on her arm where the barbs once gripped. Angel kind of jumps back and looks askance, perturbed and discombobulated. Well, that was really disturbing, says Queen Bee. Psyche bends and kisses the old man softly on weathered lips. Crosses the bridge, skirts the place where the sheep graze, that crisscross the barbed wire between bushes above the rutted sheep path that trails down to the stream, and they wait. As the day grows hot and hot, the sheep walk to the water to drink. Snake wool and long, crooked barbed wires walk back to graze. The women gather their wool and wait and gather and head back to the court of love to drop off. 3 bags full. And then it's night and dark and wet, and the streets are slick and swish as the cars go by. And for this, Psyche must go alone. She puts on a baseball cap on her head. She hangs an ankh around her neck. She puts on a black t-shirt, a smiling death. She covers her legs with faded soft jeans. She paints an eye of Horus around her left eye, paints her lips black, her skin white. She puts black leather and thick boots on her feet. She puts on black leather belt with a butterfly buckle. She places a red flashing ring on her right ring finger. Psyche walks alone in the misting damp of the night to the house of the dragon. Psyche pounds on the door to be let in. An old man, blind in one eye, meets her. He takes her shoes and her socks and lets her through the door. She walks down the cold white granite hall full of harsh white light. Cold stone leaching the warmth from Psyche's bare feet till she comes to a door green as fern. Pounds on the door to be let in. An old woman with no teeth meets her. Clucks her tongue and takes Psyche's silver-plated ankh, lets her in. She walks down smooth, polished ebony halls, dark shapes peering from puddled light, ebony smooth and hard beneath her feet till she comes to a door red as dying light. Pounds on the door to be let in. A girl of 10 meets her and gives her a cloth to wash her face. She washes her face and goes to the door, walks down the pine and rice paper hall, smells ink and ginger, sees violent curves, black and gold and art on the walls, feels the rough scratch of paper till she comes to a door blue as eye. Pounds on the door to be let in. A young woman whose breasts, just starting to bud, meets her at the door, takes her belt with the butterfly buckle, and takes her in. She walks down the green glass tiles, slap, slap, slap on the floor till she comes to a glass door, glazed white as sugar glaze. Pounds on the door to be let in. A young man, his beard just starting to grow, meets her. She doesn't want to, but she's come too far to quit. So she gives him her shirt with smiling death and her jeans and walks naked down the hall. Shivers in the cold fingerings of draft and yawning barred windows till she comes to an iron gate black as empty. Pounds the door to be let in. A dragon meets her at the door, takes her ring, coils round her cold, naked body, shivering in the air, wraps black and green around her, but she is still so cold, looks at her with red glow eyes, and takes her skinny hips in its mouth, tender as a lover, bites her with its sharp white teeth, supports her shivering as she falls, down, down, rainbows in her veins, glowing angels drown, burn. Something on her eyes and skin and face, she opens her eyes. She's in a meadow. Green, lush grass, and she's covered in tropical butterflies, like a fluttering flood, skipping from flower to flower, daisies twisting their faces to the light, no sun, just swirling mist in the sky. She isn't alone. There was someone in the meadow. A woman with wheat-colored hair, braided in tight cornrows, decorated with gold-colored beads. The woman smiles. Hello. Psyche feels the hello in her skin, soft and furry. Hey, I'm looking for the city of Dis. Why? It's so pretty here. The woman runs a daisy across her cheek. It leaves a trail of golden. I have to get the Goddess of Death's beauty box so I can lift the Gaius on my boyfriend and get him back, which would sound stupid under other circumstances. Psyche flushes, flushing, blushing, still naked, exposed. He's blind, you know. A butterfly lands in the woman's hair and takes place as a red ornament on gold wire. Who? Psyche feels like she shouldn't have stood up. All the world is in the woman's spring eyes. Your lover. I don't care. Psyche feels like she should put her hand somewhere. Not quite sure where. Foolish, too. The butterfly climbs down to the woman's ear. Still not caring. Look, do you want me to tell him how to get to Dis or not? I don't have a lot of time here. Psyche so wants to sit in that field. On the contrary, you have all the time in the world.
The woman smiles so much and more. She smiles a lot in which she means it. A smile is there in every bit of her. And focus, focus. No. You're dead. The woman laughs. It should be silvery and bells, but it's the rush of the earth. Can't you feel it? Now here, let's make you a daisy chain and you'll feel better. Psyche sits down. It wasn't supposed to end like this. How was it supposed to end? The woman hands her a pile of daisies. Well, not like this. Dead. I'm supposed to get the box and get the guy back, you know, like a hero in the story, only with more sex. There's sex in every way possible. Psyche takes a daisy and bites its head off. It tastes bitter and she spits it out. The woman laughs. I like you. You're funny. Psyche tries to tie two daisies together. Great. Happy to please. So who are you? Or is your name a secret, too? Oh, I'm Corey today. Tomorrow I'll be Persephone and lie in the grasses with my love. After that, I'll be Hecate. And as your future aunt cousin, I can be of more use. Okay. Psyche ponders the use of nod and back away slowly when you're dead. Corey smiles. Don't worry. It'll all work out. Like in the stories. They braid daisy chains, and Psyche lies in green grass for the first time in her life. Not a park, or a strip of green grass off the grass, an oddest-to-goddess meadow. After a moment, the whitest man that Psyche has ever seen comes out of the glade. White in a dead sort of way, not in a I-got-no-soul sort of way. Because look in his eyes, loads of soul. The kind that knew what you'd done and why, and tall and broad and deep, his face cracks into a smile at Corey. No, Persephone, who laughs deep down happy, skips to the man, reaches up to kiss him, and stands on toes as he bends down and down. She kicks one tiny shapely foot, her ankle bracelet jingles, they kiss and kiss. Pauses for breath. You know what I learned today? Persephone says. What? His voice is the crack of deep down. It's like he just can't look away. They so very are. I learned that it is impossible for wives to love their husbands. She traces a finger down his chest. Really? He says. He kisses her nose. Tragic. Yeah. Good thing we're Greeks. And she smiles and takes his hand and waves at Psyche and tows her lover off to see some flower, grass, sky, mist, love. Psyche lies back in the grass and leaves them alone. She dances with butterflies, makes daisy chains. It was really easy once you got the knack. After a time, Persephone returned. No, Hecate, dressed in black and silver and power. Her face still and cold, beauty put aside. Ready? Ready for what? I'm dead. Oh, that was that life. No, you're not quite dead. Just dreaming. Hecate holds out a black box. Anyway, here's my beauty in a box. But first, you can't just come back from the dead, you know. Sure. Psyche takes the box. Hecate leans forward. Her breath brushes Psyche's ear. Soft whisper. Dream of flying. And Psyche does. She dreams of stained glass butterfly wings. Red and green and blue and gold and light. They carry her up and up and up, past the empty and glazed and eye and dying light and fern and door, and doesn't bother with clothes, dresses in light, and the curve of lucent soul. Fly on, fly on, rub butterfly beauty into her cheeks, fly on. Over the city, up high to the divided hills, but as she comes to that final bend where Aphrodite rules, Psyche grows worried. She isn't beautiful, flat-chested, boy-hipped, not like Inanna, not like Aphrodite, not like Corey, Persephone, Hecate, whatever her name is. Maybe she should open the box a bit, get a bit more of that butterfly dust, so Eros would see her and love her. It's not good to love someone so much prettier than yourself. So she opens the box, knowing she shouldn't. It's a death god's beauty, a really nice death god, goddess. She wouldn't mind. Why not? And Aphrodite, oh, she'd definitely mind. Well then, just open the box a little. Open the black, shiny, lacquered lid slight and swirls dark, rushes out into her, filling her up with, well, if not beauty, something, hey! Tumbling, stumbling, careening, caught, bright and shining and light in the rising sun. They always open the box, he smiling says to her as they hover in midair, clean and clear and high. Birds sail beneath them as the city's muscles move to ready for a new day. Hey, she says. As eyes tangle, trangle, divine, she whispers, let Psyche's corpse be clad in mourning weed and set on rock of yonder hilltop. Hey, he says, his wings beat in double time and answers, her husband is no wight of human seed, but serpent dire and fierce as might be thought. Wheeling, she pulls her lover east towards some last twinkling star's night, who flies with wings above in starry skies and doth subdue each thing with fiery flight. He is pulling poles, wheeling, playing in the sky. The gods themselves and powers that seem so wise, mighty Jove be subject to his might. Pauses a bit. Her might? She shrugs, perhaps. The river's black and deadly floods of pain and darkness eke as thrall to him remain. Her remain. They fly and spin, and this is fun. So is the curse lifted, she says? Close enough, he says. Cool. And so how do you feel about a temple on a mountaintop? We have wings. We can commute. He laughs, and she laughs, and they drift to blade-thin grass, glass-green mountaintop, where they daisy nectar sip. Find a pail of stucco temple to lie in grasses caressed, and linger in that place where love sometimes likes to dwell.